Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And my friends, I'll tell you, the whole world has just changed again, thanks to Donald Trump. Donald Trump's big, beautiful bill was passed, 4th of July. What did it do? It did so many things that are beneficial to business people that I have to cover them. If I don't cover them, I don't think you'll even understand. I mean, you hear the negative stuff like, well, they took everybody off Medicare. No, they made everybody prove they deserve Medicare, and they took it away from illegal aliens. Those are not bad things. Those are both good things, and that means there's more Medicare money to go to people who actually deserve it. So the Dems are going to give you all kinds of craziness, but the Republicans, the business people, the entrepreneurs, the small business people, they're going to love this bill. They are loving this bill if they've actually even looked at it and found out what's in it. So let's go over it today. I think it's important for you to understand the benefits that you have just derived from the big, beautiful bill. Let's start with number one. It retained the tax brackets that we have been living with since Donald Trump passed the first tax reform act that he did. If we would not have passed this bill, most of us would have had a 20 or 30% tax increase immediately. By passing this, it has eliminated that fear. And I think that's the most important thing. In fact, in all of this stuff that I'm going to go over with you, the most important thing is that we now know what we have to deal with. As business people, you need to plan. I know that the people out there, that the students and all the Dems that don't work and all the people that are in politics, they don't plan for anything. They just get up and go to work every day, do their thing, or don't go to work every day, whatever. They just get up and do their thing. They have no plans, no goals, no accomplishments. But for people that want to be successful, you need to have plans and goals and accomplishments. You need to understand that your future is stable. And that's what this bill did more than anything else. It stabilized the view. So the tax brackets are the same, but here's a beautiful thing. They increase them for inflation. There's a novel idea. As you inflate away our buying power, you also should inflate away the amount of taxes that we pay on that buying power. If the buying power goes down, the taxes should go down. And so the tax rates were inflated upward. I think that's a very logical thing to do, right? So that is the number one most important, the tax brackets, right, for everybody. That's everybody benefit, right? So let's move on to the stuff that real estate investors really, really benefit from. And I think the number one thing is depreciation. And they allowed depreciation and accelerated depreciation to stay, which is to mean you can do an estimate of how much of your stuff is going to depreciate away in 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, 15 years, and then 27 and a half years on residential stuff. So this this deductibility of depreciation is one of the major things that makes real estate as profitable as it is, this tax benefit. Now, let's add to this something Trump passed in his last law, which was this thing called the 100% depreciation rule. Now, the 100% depreciation rule allowed us to be able to write off anything that would depreciate in 20 years or less, and we'd have to do a cost segregation, which is just having a CPA come in and figure out how much your asset value is worth is going to last 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, and or 27 and a half years. And when he passed this thing, you could write off 100% of everything that would be deductible within 20 years. So you're 20 years and below. That's almost everything except land, you can't depreciate at all, and your buildings, which are 27 and a half years. So what happened was over the last couple of years, this thing started to phase out. So it went from 100 to 80 to 60 to 40 would have been this year. But what he's done is he's permanently renewed the 100% deduction. Now, guys, what that means, if you put a new asset into business this year in 2025, anywhere from January on, you're going to be able to take the entire asset value of everything that will depreciate out in 20 years or less, which is a very large percentage of it, you will be able to take that large asset and depreciate it off in the first year. That's ungodly. I've done this now. I've used this depreciation allowance along with regular depreciation, and I have not paid taxes in many, many, many years, probably 20 or 30 years, but this stuff started getting me back returns, tax returns with reduction or tax returns. In other words, I got money back from the government in excess of $1 million 3 years in a row, 4 years in a row since Trump did this thing. It's just been unbelievable. That money goes right back into investing, and that's what it's designed for. Is it doesn't go into your pocket. It goes right back into it. Now, you don't have to put it right back into investing, but that's what the idea is. The idea is it's going to take that burden away from you, stick that taxable dollars back into new investments and grow your investments at a much faster rate. You know, they always say stuff grows faster in a 401k or an IRA because you don't pay taxes on it. Currently, you defer those taxes. That's all this is doing, is deferring those taxes into the future. You're not paying them now. You won't pay them until either you sell the property, or if you sell the property, do a 1031 exchange, you don't pay them at all. You just defer them off into the future even further. So this is a very, very important thing. If you are one of us, you own real estate, you are going to get a massive tax return refund from this very thing if you buy new real estate this year. But you got to put it into account this year. Now, the next thing that I think falls right in line with that is the 179 deduction, whereas the 100% depreciation and all depreciation functions on real property. Real estate and everything that's attached to it is real property. But the 179 deduction allows you to write off personal property, cars, trucks, all different kinds of furniture and stuff, whatever you need in your business, computers, blah, blah, blah. They can be written off 100% up to $2,500,000. That's what I've got down here. That's just hard to believe, but yeah. In other words, you start a new business, you fill it up with furniture, you fill it up with computers, buy all these things, you need a truck for your deal, and you can write all that off. All in the first year, 179 deduction. This is unbelievable. Now, if you take that and add it to the 100% deduction, and you start a new business this year, the tax advantages you will have are going to be so enormous that it's almost going to pay you to start that business. It's just unbelievable. And you need to get involved in that, if at all possible. Because if you don't, you miss out. This is making it possible. Donald Trump is making it possible. The Congress has made it possible for small businesses to excel. And that's unbelievable. You need to get out and get a piece of this stuff. You need to get started buying real estate right now. So the next thing I want to cover, we've got depreciation, it's continued. Accelerated depreciation is continued. And 100% deductible in the first year depreciation is continued and brought all the way back to 100% and made permanent. These are incredible things. But let's go to the next thing, and that is 20% qualified income reduction for self-employed and small businesses. So what does this mean? It means Donald Trump lowered the corporate tax rates for C corporations, for, you know, corporations who get taxed on their corporate income. He lowered those tax rates. But if you're an S corporation or if you're an LLC, those corporate tax rates being lowered does you no good at all because all of your income flows back onto your personal income tax statement. That's what mine does. I have S corporations and I have LLCs, and I have a lot of them, and they all flow right back to me. So on my apartment complexes and my commercial buildings, the depreciation takes that income that I have down quite a bit, if not to zero. And then that flows through to my personal income statement, what's left of it, if any. Sometimes the depreciation is even more than what the income is, and I have excess depreciation to cover other passive incomes, which I have many of. So these things all flow down to me. And then at that level, that's my tax rate. Well, to benefit people like myself, which are small business people, Donald Trump passed this thing called the 20% qualified income reduction for self-employed or small businesses, which are basically LLCs and S corporations owned by an individual or family. And what you do is after we take all that depreciation off and drop all those real estates to making no money at all, you take all my other kind of businesses and add it all in, whatever the net is. So let's say, let's just make up a number. Let's say I make $10 million a year and depreciation takes that down to $5 million. So the taxes I would owe on $10 million are now only owed on $5 million. Then add it all up after all that depreciation, all that reduction in income, I get to take a 20% deduction right off the top. So if there's $5 million left, 20% of $5 million or $1 million, that amount of income is stripped right out of my personal income tax statement. Gone. Just reduced by 20%. That's unbelievable. You know, that is unbelievable. I'm in the 40% tax bracket, so $1 million off to me is like $400,000 immediate deduction in taxes. And for you, it's going to be whatever amount you have as a personal business. You know, when you add up all of your personal income together, and if it is coming from qualified businesses, all of mine come from qualified businesses. Everything I own is inside of an LLC or an S corporation. So they're all qualified businesses. Now, if you own your own entrepreneurial situation, you need to get some tax help. I don't know if that actually works for that, but I know it works for the LLCs and the S corporations because that's what I have. Just take 20% off. I mean, think about that. 20% reduction right off the top. It's an amazing thing, right? So now we're paying very, very little taxes compared to what we would have paid. But what if to get into this real estate this year, we need to sell something so we have enough money to buy something new so we can use that 100% deduction? Well, the next thing they saved was the 1031 tax-free exchange, which means if you sell a property and you buy another property within 180 days that has been identified that you want to buy it within, I think it's 60 days, you have 60 days to identify, 180 days to buy it, to close on it. So you sell one property, you would have a massive tax gain possibly, capital gain on that. You now sell that property and roll that tax gain into your next property and pay no capital gains taxes at all. So there you go. So how does that work? Well, there's an old saying, defer, 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 die. So what do I mean? Take 1031, you roll in the next property. If you ever sell that property, you roll in the next property. You keep doing that until you die. At that time, unlike your other income sources, your 401k, your IRA, your family would have to pay the taxes to receive the 401k and the IRA. But on real estate, what happens is your family receives it in a stepped-up basis. So what does that mean? Well, I've been depreciating, not paying taxes, for 35 years in real estate. If I die and my daughter would receive that, she would not have to pay any of the taxes I didn't pay. Now, let's say I had a 401k, which I don't, or an IRA, which I don't. If I gave her a set of stocks in a 401k or an IRA, she would have to pay whatever the capital gains taxes are. In other words, if I bought all those stocks when the market was 6,000 and now the market's 43,000, she might owe millions in taxes. And she'd have to pay it because there's no way out of it, because there's nothing there to protect you from taxation like that. Now, there is one thing that Trump did add to possibly cover that income, and that is the estate tax. So the estate tax used to be, was it $11.8 million? I got to look that up. I'm going to have to cover that one, because on here I've got the next one is $23 million to $30 million. So I don't know what it really was. I'll look that up in the next break and come back to you on that, what it used to be. I don't know if it was $11.8 million to $15 million. That must be what it was. So you could leave $23,600,000 as a single person or up to $30 million as a married couple. Now, I will check those again, but that's just unbelievable. You now can leave $30 million to your kids. That's quite a bit, right? Let's go on to the next one, which is real estate investors really benefit from this one. It's called carried interest, and this is a complicated one. So when we come back from break, I'm going to go into it in detail so you'll understand it, because I don't want to just rush through it. But it's just lay it out there. This is called carried interest, and this is being taxed on earned income as if it's long-term capital gain. We'll get into that when we come back. We'll be right back with Del Wamsley Radio Show. We'll be right back.
reaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Lifestyles Unlimited team of real estate investing mentors and educators want to meet you. Learn to retire in 5 years or less. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. And during the break, I was able to go and clarify the question of how much the estate tax has changed. And I was just reading my notes wrong. Make it a little easier now to understand. The estate tax right now, before the big bill was passed, allowed an individual the right to give away $11,800,000 to their family members without it being taxed. That's a gift tax. That has changed from $11,800,000 to $15 million. So that's quite a bit for an individual. I can give away, if I were single, $15 million. But if you're married, it has gone from $23,600,000 to $30 million, or double the $15 million. So now, as a family, you could give away $30 million to your siblings, leave that to them, or whoever else you want to leave it to. I believe, I don't think it even matters who you leave it to, without paying taxes on it, without them paying the state taxes. So that's a wonderful thing, very wonderful thing, amount of money. So it saves quite a bit of. It retains family wealth, and I think that's the important thing, is that the Democrats don't want you to retain family wealth. They want you to give it all up and start all over again and give it all back to the people that don't do anything, that don't produce anything, and start all over so that your kids have to start all over, bust their butt, and they can't benefit from your hard work. You can't leave your hard work behind. And I think that the fact that this big, beautiful bill addresses that so drastically like that is very important on it. Now, the next one I'm going to talk about is one of the most powerful real estate investment tools out there, and it's called carried interest. So you need to understand a little bit how a real estate transaction might get processed if it was not going to be done just as an independent real estate owner. We call those IRO deals, where you buy your own property, but you were going to put together a syndication or raise capital from other people. As a syndicator, you're probably going to take some portion of the deal, 5, 10, 20, 30% of the deal, for simply putting the deal together. Now, you may also buy some percentage of the deal yourself out of your own money, but this part that's given to you, right, is, in essence, money you're getting for doing something. In any other business, that would be considered earned income. You'd have to pay income taxes on it. You'd have to pay Social Security taxes on it. You'd have to pay Medicare taxes. It'd be earned, because that's what you're doing. As making a living by being a lead investor or a syndicator. We call them lead investors here, but as in the open world, it's called syndicator. By being a syndicator, that's your job. That's what you do. You're getting paid this money. With the carried interest law, what happens is all the money you earn from this investment is considered to be investment income and not earned income. So first of all, until you get it, you don't owe any taxes on it. And if the property doesn't owe any taxes because the depreciation wipes it out, then you pay no taxes. Even though it's your earned income, it's how you're making your living, you pay no income taxes, no Social Security, no Medicare. It's unbelievable. Right. At the very end, if you ever do sell the property, then the income you did earn all these years, if you own it 1 year, 3, 5, 10, 20 years, whatever it is, all this income you earned is now taxable. But it's taxable as long term capital gains, which is a very low tax bracket, tax rate compared to ordinary income. Man, this is really what keeps this syndication business alive. If people actually had to pay taxes on the income they were taking out as ordinary income, I don't think you'd see as many syndications. I don't think people would want to do it. It's the fact that they're getting to earn all this income as if it were passive income that's really making the difference. right? So it's very incredible situation. Now, let's move on to the next one, and that's called the SALT tax. The SALT tax is state and local tax deduction. And what it allows you to do is write off your property taxes, write off your sales taxes, write off all the state and local taxes that you pay up to an amount. Now, that has just increased. It was $10,000 was the maximum you could write off. That just went up to $40,000. That was one of the big concessions because people in Democratic states where they pay income taxes, they were writing those income taxes off against your federal income taxes. Now, I always thought that was unfair until I finally realized somehow I got it explained to me that in these states, they bring their income in from income taxes, but they have very low property taxes. In Texas, where I live, we don't have any income taxes, but we have very high property taxes and sales taxes. So, like you have sales tax on your car, you buy a new car, you get to write that off. If you got property taxes on your home, you get to write that off. And this is up to $40,000. Now, it does phase out as your income goes up, and I don't know what the limits are on the income. I just know that I'm outside of that limit, so I don't get to use the SALT tax. I just take the standard deduction. But if you can itemize, man, the SALT tax can be incredible. Oh, here it is, phased out. It phases out between $500,000 and $600,000 a year. So by the time you get to $600,000 a year, the SALT tax is deduction is virtually useless for you. It's useless for me because I make over $600,000 a year. So, but if you're making less than $500,000, then you get that $40,000 a year, which is quite a bit, to write off all of your state and local taxes. The next one is interest expense. I didn't write down the deductions for interest expense because I didn't myself even really understand them. All my interest on all my businesses is deductible. Business interest is deductible 100%. This is talking about interest on like credit cards, automobiles, and other purchases, school loans, whatever, that you can write off. And since I had no even common understanding of this whatsoever, I didn't dig into it. But to some extent, and besides that, I don't get to use it because, again, it phases out. But for those of you in the bottom end of this thing, being able to write off interest is another deduction you can take. So all these things add up. When you look at your tax return and you have somebody that actually knows what they're doing, I mean, I take my tax return in, I hand it off to the guy and say, call me. And they call me back, and you know, like this year, I think I got $1,380,000 back. You say, well, Dell, that's unbelievable. How do you do that? Well, first of all, you have to pay that in to get it back, right? You can't get it back if you didn't pay it in. So don't be getting excited. Remember, I tell people all the time, hey, did you pay $400,000 in income tax this year? They go, no, I didn't. I said, well, then you don't have a tax problem. What do you have? You have an income problem. If you make over $1 million a year, you're in the 40% tax bracket, you're going to pay, you know, somewhere around, $1 million, you're paying 40%, you're paying $400,000 of taxes. If you're not paying a lot of taxes, you don't have a tax problem, you got an income problem. Now, that's a relative statement to people at all different levels of income. And at your level of income, I'm sure you're probably thinking, well, you know, I pay too much in taxes. Everybody thinks they pay too much in taxes. That's just the way the world works. What I'm teaching you is the government has given you a multitude, a plethora of ways to get out of paying taxes. All you have to do is learn them and use them. They're all legal, right? Every one of them is legal. They all work, and you need to take advantage of them. Just because you don't take advantage of them, don't hate the hater, don't hate the game, right? You can hate the game, but not hate the player, I guess is how they say it. In other words, if I and the people at Lifestyles know how to use those deductions and we use them, don't hate us. Hate the fact that 90% of the people in Congress use those deductions, and that's why they pass them. It's because they want them, because they use them, and they want to benefit from them. So don't hate the players, hate the game. But in this case, these are now locked in. This is not a presidential decree. This is Congress locked these in as long-term laws. you might as well learn how to use them because they are now law. It is the big, beautiful bill, just like Trump claimed it to be. Now, there's two more things on the bill that have to do with real estate investing that are probably not at your level. They're not really lifestyles level type opportunities, but they're there. So I'm going to go ahead and go over them. The first one is low-income housing. There is the need in our country for low-income housing. So what they'll do is they will reduce your taxes. They will give you a tax credit, which is a direct one-for-one reduction in the taxes you pay for putting together low-income housing. What is low-income housing? Well, you have to get passed into a agreed contract that says you will provide housing to. And first of all, it has to be agreed on. You can't just do it, say I'm low-income housing qualified. You have to get qualified through an agreement. And then you have to provide X percent of your housing units to people at various ranges below the median income. So they might require you to produce 50% of your units at median income or below, and then another 20% at 25% of or 50% of median income or below for really, really, you know, poor people. In return for you doing that, then what happens is that you will get a tax credit. And a tax credit is not a tax deduction. It is a direct write-off of your taxes. So you figured out all your taxes, and you owe a check to the government for $100,000. They give you $100,000 tax credit, boom, it's gone. It's not a reduction of $100,000 income, and you save 20 or 30% of that. No, it's boom, tax credit. And so people like these things. What is the pro and the con on this? The reason we don't use them in lifestyles is because it's very difficult to operate a property where 50% of your people are low-income housing people, and the rest of your property is supposed to be normal people. Why? Because there is a aura, I guess the best way to say it without sounding too prejudiced, there's an aura to people that are in low-income housing. The way they keep their housing up, the way they act, the way they dress, their personal demeanor in public, their cars or automobiles, it tends to bring the quality of the occupancy of that unit down to where the normal person would not want to live at that property. And although you're giving away by mandate these lower housing units, you end up having a hard time leasing the full price housing units because the people that would pay the full price don't want to live next to the people getting there for free. Not to mention that it's kind of a burn to know that somebody lives next to you and they're paying half or a third of what you're paying. That really kind of burns or chaps some people, you know, the wrong way. So low-income housing has always been challenging to operate. It takes a certain person, plus there's a lot of additional extra work because every 6 months and sometimes it's every quarter, you have to prove that the people in your low-income housing units actually are low-income. So you have to go get their personal income information, which, man, that in itself takes a full-time person just to keep on track of all these people. It adds an additional layer of accounting that's necessary. So I've always just stayed away from it, and I've mentored my people to stay away from low-income housing. But it's there for those people that want to take it on. The next one is opportunity zones. This one's interesting. They've made this thing permanent. It was a test thing to see if it worked, first of all. And they would dictate an area and say, hey, we need something to happen in this area. There's not enough housing. There's not enough grocery stores. There's not enough businesses. This is an opportunity zone. If you build something, create something in this area, we will give you tax credits for doing so or abatements, like property tax abatements. They have different ways they work these things out because it is a state and local gimme. It's a federal government plan, but it's mandated by state and local needs. So this one's really complicated. In fact, I'm not even going to go into the detail because I was reading the detail and I couldn't even understand it. It has to do with, okay, the federal government mandates this money's there to do this stuff. However, your state and your local governments are going to mandate what they want done, where they want it done, and what rules and restrictions have to be adhered to be able to get it. So to me, whew, that's too many hoops to jump through. That's not my kind of business. Other people love governmental stuff. They'll jump through every hoop in the world to get some kind of a benefit, some type of a leg up on the world of business. But that's just not my way of doing business. So there we go. That's the stuff that I wrote down that had to do with real estate investing. There's other stuff in that bill, I'm sure, but that was the stuff that really, to me, made sense that we needed to know about as real estate investors. So you, as a person sitting out there on the sideline thinking, I think I'm going to do this, no better time than to do it right now. Trump has taken away all of your negatives. He's created a rock-solid law that's going to stay in place that you can go out and invest and do it with confidence that all of the things you're putting into your plan will be there and you will be able to benefit from all of these tax benefits that this program and or these, all of these programs will hand to you. All you have to do is decide to get off that couch, get into lifestyles, get signed up, and let us start teaching you how to do it, and get yourself started buying rent houses, small units, duplex, fourplex, or apartments. And we'll get you started, and you'll start benefiting from these. Remember this, we don't do it just for money. We do it for the lifestyle. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Wamsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Wamsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Wamsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Wamsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Wamsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.